on this one, and we hope that our discussions will be very fruitful. Before we go on, let me check if there are any apologies. Yes, the Honorable Madropa, Honorable Nyalungu, Honorable Kwakwa, and Honorable Low. The chairperson, Honorable Paul Mashatile, is also not available. He has been unwell since last week. We hope that he will be well soon so that he can continue the task of leading this standing committee on appropriations. Honorable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Dr. Fink will be a little bit late. He's just dealing with the matter. But he will be along in a few minutes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
We are dealing with issues related to the spending of funds appropriated to departments, and in this particular instance, the Department of Science and Technology. We would like to see, as the Standing Committee on Appropriations, how funds that have been allocated to the department in the financial year that is ending on March the 31st have been spent up to this far, the third quarter. As you would know, the Standing Committee on Appropriations is mandated to recommend to Parliament the approval of departmental budgets. And once Parliament has done that, has approved the budgets every financial year, beginning of the financial year, one of the tasks that this committee has to deal with is to follow the money and see whether it is appropriately spent. See whether there is value for money. See whether there is underspending or overspending. We always emphasize at this committee that our task is not to find fault and criticize. Our task is to look at challenges that the department might have in terms of spending public funds and seek solutions together so that the Standing Committee on Appropriations can go back to Parliament and report to Parliament how departments spend their funds, what challenges have been experienced, and what solutions have been found. We are not going to report to Parliament problems and then say nothing about solutions that we seek to find together with the department. Because Parliament does not expect us to go into that house and lament about challenges and problems of spending. It expects us to say we have met the departments, we have identified that this department is spending public funds efficiently, it is achieving the objectives. There are, however, challenges, and this is how we have proposed challenges to be solved. We will then go back to Parliament once the challenges are attended to and say, the challenges we alerted Parliament to have been attended to, and the department is running 100% correct. That's our task. And so, we shall not stand in public platforms and address media briefings and lambast departments and ministers and so on and so on. That's not our task. And therefore, we are partners in addressing issues related to efficient spending of public funds. Parliament has got to be hands-on in terms of how public funds it approves are spent. And our task is to assist Parliament to be hands-on, get this information, process this information, and report accordingly to the public. So that is why we meet the departments, and that's why we are meeting the Department of Science and Technology today. To see how far, as we are almost close to the end of the financial year, how far have we spent, how far have we achieved in terms of the targets that you have set for yourselves, what is outstanding and why, and how do we then move forward so that we improve on spending of public funds every time. In the final analysis, we must stand up at the end of a financial year, all of us, Parliament and yourselves as departments, and say, we have delivered to our people. That's what we must achieve together with yourselves. So on that note, we would like to hand over to the team, so that they can do their presentation. We will allow you to do your presentation and complete it, and then members will engage in the form of asking questions and comment on your report, and we will engage in the discussion like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. May I introduce the team that I'm having with myself this morning, starting with myself, Dr. Mtuafa, the AG Science and Technology, and then maybe I'll have to see a board on which have any various and managed to suggest themselves.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Glenn Zulu. I'm the CFO in the DST. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. I am Nomuliso Lomukwena, the Deputy Director General responsible for corporate services at the DST.
Thank you, honorable Chair, honorable members. My name is David Makona, and I'm the Chief Director responsible for monitoring evaluation and strategy.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mandy Patrick, and I'm the Office of the Director General of Science and Technology.
That's it. So, Chair, honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you how far we have gone by the end of the third quarter in the department. We haven't been in this committee before, so we are not even sure whether the presentation that we have prepared for you will meet your requirements. If not, we are willing to learn and we are willing to take suggestions from you on what additional information next time perhaps you would require and in what form you'd like us to produce that information. So what we've done is to see whether we can give a little bit of an overview of the Department of Science and Technology, because it's the first time that we're coming to this committee. And then we will then spend a bit more time on the performance on the targets that we have set out for ourselves. We haven't got a full suite of targets and indicators, but some of those that are key in achieving the objectives of the department. And then we'll highlight some achievements in some of the programs that we have in the department, and then I'll hand over to the CFO to speak about the financial performance at the end of the third quarter. And then we'll conclude. So, what is the mandate of the Department of Science and Technology? We take our mandate from the white paper, which was published in 1996. And what this white paper introduced, it introduced, amongst other things, a concept of a national system of innovation. Essentially here, what the white paper was proposing is that it's very good to have a science system where people try and do science to understand how the world works, but if that science doesn't translate into the challenges of the society, it's not the kind of system that we would like in South Africa. So this is something that we're continuously looking at building and continuously trying to optimize, which is essentially then a framework that we have developed for science, technology, and innovation, where we look at whether the institutions that we have, organizations, and the policies that have been set up by the department interact in a constructive way in order to pursue a common set of social and economic goals and objectives. And as I've said, so that you don't end up with people publishing papers and we're happy with that, and therefore the social economic development doesn't benefit from science and technology. We then developed two sets of policy papers. One is the National Research and Development Strategy, which was approved by Cabinet in 2002, and then a 10-year innovation plan, which was adopted by Cabinet in 2008. The 10-year innovation plan in particular seeks to look at how we can transform our economy from a resource-based economy to a knowledge-based economy, where the production of knowledge and the dissemination of knowledge leads to socio-economic benefits for the society. And therefore, our measure of success is whether science, technology, and innovation plays a role in enhancing productivity, economic growth, and socio-economic development. So the vision of the department is to create a prosperous society that derives enduring and equitable benefits from science and technology. In the new strategy plan, this has been changed, and then its mission is to develop, coordinate, and manage this national system of innovation that I talked about, that brings about the adequate human capital development, number of master's and PhD students, knowledge workers, sustainable economic growth, and improved quality of life. The objectives, therefore, specifically for the department is to enhance our capacity to generate knowledge, to develop our capacity to translate that knowledge into socio-economic development, that's what we mean by innovation capacity, to make sure that we have adequate skills for the economy, and then to make sure that there is adequate infrastructure for science, technology, and innovation. And because science is an international enterprise, to make sure that we are a strategic partner and a destination for science, technology, and activity. And the SKA is a prime example of how we've been able to do that. We also support, as the Department of Science and Technology, some of the outcomes of this administration. In particular, outcome 2, that talks about long and healthy life for all South Africans. Outcome 4, decent employment to inclusive economic growth, outcome for skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth, and then outcome six, efficient and competitive and responsive economic infrastructure, network, and then outcome seven, vibrant, equitable and sustainable rural communities and food security for all, and then outcome 10, environmental assets and natural resources that are well protected and continually enhanced. The programs of the department, we have five programs. The first one is the administration program, and Mbuyiselo on my right is responsible for that program. We have a program that looks at technology innovation, research development and support, socio-economic innovation partnership, and then international cooperation and resources. And then as you can see at the center of all of our programs is the white paper that I talked about on science and technology, the National Research and Development Strategy, and the 10-year Innovation Plan as the broad policy framework document that we use in guiding the work of the department. What I will then do is just to give you a sense of what each of these programs do. Program one is responsible for administration, and therefore they conduct the overall management and administration of the department, so things like HR, finance fall under administration. Program two is a program that enables research and development in certain strategic areas and emerging focus areas to promote the realization of commercial products, processes and services from research and development. And what they do is they provide an enabling policy for this to happen. Program three is responsible for cooperation resources, and what they do is they strategically develop, promote and manage international relationships, opportunities and science and technology agreements that strengthen our national system of innovation and enable an exchange of knowledge, capacity and resources between South Africa and its regional partners as well as international partners. And then program four is the one that is responsible for providing an enabling environment for research and knowledge production that promotes strategic development of basic sciences and some priority science areas. These are identified in some of the documents through science promotion, human capital development, the provision of research infrastructure, relevant research support in pursuit of our transition to knowledge-based economy. And then the last program is responsible for enhancing growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and the development of partnerships, strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry research institutions and communities. So let's come to the targets then by quarter three. We have a total of 65 output targets for the financial year under discussion. And we'll show in figure one that at the end of the third quarter, the department was on course to achieve about 36 of these targets, whilst 10 of these targets had already been achieved. We identified targets that were at moderate risk of not being achieved, 17 of these, and at the quarter, about 3 of these targets were not achieved. So this is the slide that I'll talk about. So the blue pie chart are the targets that we have achieved, and as you can see, they constitute about 15%. And then at the end of the third quarter, we had 56% of the targets that we were almost certain that they would be achieved. And then 17 of these constitute 20%, they were at moderate risk. And then 3% we are certainly not achieved. So the way we manage these targets is that we then try to spend a bit more time on the red and the yellows because we'd like to enhance achieving the targets. We have agreed with the Auditor General that at least 80% of the targets must be achieved. So you can see that if we have achieved 15% with 56, that takes us to about 71. So we just need to manage about 8% of the 26% that is on course. And then we have looked at why in this quarter these targets were not achieved. And predominantly there are two reasons why they were not achieved. The first one was administrative set of initiatives within the department where some of the targets were supposed to have been taken through the internal processes. And the other reason was that we were busy in the process of processing some of these targets. So even though they were not achieved by the end of the third quarter, we are happy and we are certain, because even now that we are at the end of the quarter, we are almost certain that we should get to about 80%. Initial indications are that we're sitting at 77% and we are working on verifying the information for the other 3%. So this is now a set of spreadsheets that try and go through each of the areas where we have targets and perhaps indicate how we monitor these. So in quarter three, we had one of the targets that was not met, which relates to innovation support interventions that are developed and supported in key strategic areas. This is a target where the National Intellectual Property Management Office works with institutions in providing them with support for commercializing ideas from research. As you can see, the reason why this was not achieved was really mainly an internal process of ensuring that the legal services for the offices of technology transfer, which are based at the university, had their contracts drafted and submitted to the National Intellectual Property Management Office. Another one that was at risk was a target in consultation with the space agency, South African National Space Agency, SANPA, and DENEL, where we wanted to update a Haltech facility, which is based here in Grabo, for the building of our satellite program. Again, as you can see, that it was an internal process where the document that was supposed to have been submitted to our executive committee was not submitted on time. Again, at the next round of meetings, we subsequently had a discussion of this, so this target has now been achieved. The second set of targets are the ones where we were supposed to have secured about 86 million of foreign science, technology and innovation funds that flow into the system. And at the end of this quarter, we had secured approximately 6 million of that money. And again, it was a process issue where we needed to finalize the memorandum of agreements for transfers to be finalized, so that calls for proposals with our bilateral partners in Egypt, Algeria, could then be funded through the MOAs that would have been signed and agreed to. And then we were supposed to have 8 regional, continental and global initiatives that are led by South Africa finalized, and the target has not been achieved, but as I said, subsequently we followed up on this, especially with the responsibilities of the seconded official to the SADC. The second, the third is on, again, the funds that we are supposed to have secured in partnership with others, more or less the same kind of reason of the memoranda of agreements needed to be finalized. And then another area was recommendations from engagements with multinational organizations that we work with to shape our national, regional and continental science, technology and innovation discourse and policy formulation. Again, this was a matter of an internal processing of these documents within the executive committee of the department. On the SKA, we were supposed to have at the end of the third quarter 4 Meerkat antenna installed in Carnarvon by the 31st of 2014. And most of the colleagues will probably know that there was a strike by the National Union of Metal Workers, and that led to some of the contractors that were contracted for the delivery of the dishes to delay the delivery of the dishes to the SKA site. We have, of course, subsequently, by the end of March, installed all the 4 antenna in Canada. We're supposed to have finalized the first draft of the science engagement strategy, which is meant to be used together with the department and our entities on engaging the public on science and technology activities. This is work that was delayed at the time, but I think that then, as I've said, we have subsequently finalized this engagement framework, and we are now developing the implementation plan with our entities. These are a set of indicators, again, where we work with other departments. In this case, we are supposed to have presented a draft marine and Antarctic research strategy to the executive, a draft basic sciences conceptual framework document, and the bill for the protection and the promotion, development, and management of the indigenous knowledge system. The first one is a document which we're supposed to develop with the Department of Environmental Affairs. So it was a consultation between the department that delayed the finalization of the draft strategy, as well as the IKS bill. This is a bill that we're supposed to have finalized in consultation with the Department of Trade and Industry, and that consultation process yet again did not materialize at the time that we had anticipated when we formulated with the target, and we have subsequently, of course, finalized this, already been submitted to cabinet. And then the workshop for basic sciences conceptual framework was a bit delayed. These targets were on course for being achievement in administration, so again, I'm not Chair and honorable members wanting to spend a lot of time on these. And then we already achieved one target in the area of administration, and then we were in the process of finalizing the submission to submit to National Treasury for EME at the time. We thought we were on course, and I think we did submit this on time. And then we have set a target of trying to pay all our suppliers within 90 days, and then at the time we had achieved 94% of invoices paid within 30 days, and we continue to strive towards ensuring that all the valid invoices are paid 100% within 90 days. So let me give some highlights then on the second program, technology innovation. This program at this time had set up with the World Intellectual Property Management Office from Geneva, a summer school where we try and see whether we can provide training on how the intellectual property needs to be managed, and this was done in partnership with the DGI's companies and Intellectual Property Commission. The Innovation Priorities and Instruments, which is a sub-program of this has developed the first iteration of a portal or website for the implementation of the Innovation Bridge. Maybe let me spend some time explaining what this Innovation Bridge matchmaking event was. We felt that we have a number of innovations that we are developing in the science system, but very few find themselves in the marketplace. So this event was meant to try and have funders of ideas and technology together with the people developing these ideas meeting together, and this was a successful event which was ultimately held at the CSIR early this year. And then during this period we had 99 new IP status and commercialization reports that were received from the offices of technology transfer from the universities, and we are very, very happy with this increase in the number of intellectual property ideas and reports that are coming from the universities. And then projects related to key initiatives such as the bioeconomy strategy were approved, and contracts for free breeding platform for wheat, cholera diagnostic market kit, biofarming and the tripartite bioentrepreneurship program, which we're doing with Switzerland, will finalize. So this is just a highlight. And then we had decided, as part of our public outreach program, had a successful Space Week program at the Eastern Cape, which was held during that time. And then, of course, there were a number of organizations that went into the Eastern Cape to try and excite learners about the space program that we are developing in South Africa, to excite them to move into this area. On the energy side, we have developed two prototypes, one in the fuel cell forklift with a storage that was developed at the University of the Western Cape, and then an electric bicycle with the fuel cell power module that was included to extend the range of the bicycle. These are some of the targets in this area of the departmental work. We think we are on course in developing the oversight instruments that we use in managing our entities. And then, of course, we are also on target in meeting some of the work that we do in our publications, as well as the articles that we publish in this area. Number of oversights in another entity called the Technology Innovation Agency. We think we are on course in finalizing those, and we've already achieved some of the targets in terms of the number of publications that were coming out of the centers that we're funding in these key strategic areas of this program. On the third program, the International Cooperation and Resources, Japanese government every year around about October invites international renowned ministers of science and technology into a science and technology societies forum, which brings together a range of science and technology leaders to discuss global collaboration in the area of science and technology. So we participated in this, quite a large contingent from the department, and then of course we had consultations on science and technology partnership with some countries such as France, Germany, Norway, and Sweden were held. And then we also participated in the multinational partnership to advance the African science and technology agenda. We continued that through the conference that was held. We also continue to support a number of flagship initiatives under the new Partnership for Africa's Development. We host the African Institute of Mathematical Sciences here in Muizenberg in the Western Cape, the South African Network for Biosciences, which is at the CSIR, the African Laser Center also at the CSIR, and the South African Network Centers of Excellence in Water Research at the University of Stellenbosch. And then the minister had the opportunity to visit both Ethiopia and Sudan as part of strengthening our bilateral relations with the countries in the rest of the continent. And then, of course, the strategic partnership between ourselves and the EU was further boosted by the high-level engagement that was facilitated by the program, including the launch of the clinical trials program. We continue to engage with philanthropic organizations because a lot of them would like to work with the Department of Science and Technology and its entities in looking for new innovations that could be tried in South Africa and then be implemented in the rest of the world. So in this case, we had a strong discussion with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on how we can pilot some of the alternative sanitation technologies that were showcased in a fair that they had held in India. And then, of course, we also continue to seek partnership with multinational companies. And in this case, we had a very useful discussion with Cisco to partner with the University of Metropolitan University Mandela for the establishment of a Center for Broadband Technology at the university. This center has subsequently now been launched. So again, these are some of the targets for the international cooperation and resources in some of these areas that has been achieved, and these are some of those that are on course. Occasionally, the department is requested by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to partner with the Presidency and DECO in some of the binational cooperation arrangements that DECO leads. And in this case, we have a number that we are going to participate in Botswana, EU, G77 plus China, Germany, Mexico, and then of course the annual consultation with Canada and the Forum for China and Africa. The continental initiatives that are to promote and strengthen SCI, we think that the target that we have set out has already been achieved. And then we were a bit short in terms of the targets for ensuring that the South African research and student participation in initiatives that we have with some partners and human capital, we fell short of that. On the program number four, we have held a two-day workshop as the highlights to equip the Indigenous Knowledge System Document Center coordinators. This is where we ask Indigenous knowledge practitioners to document their work through this center as part of ensuring that the knowledge that they have is codified. And this had already been planned for a number of provinces in South Africa. And then at the time, the second dish, the Meerkat dish and the sub-reflector were installed as per project schedule. Support was also extended for resuscitating the printed circuit board manufacturing capability in the country in order to allow the local manufacture of some of the technology that is a spin-off from the manufacture of the IT or the research that has been done on IT for the processing of data within the aircraft. The Center for Research on Evaluation, Science and Technology Crisis at the University of Stellenbosch has completed the scientometric analysis on the performance of astronomy in the country. This is a program that receives a large amount of funding and therefore wanted to know what is the return on investment. It seems that we are now beginning to be in the top 10 countries that are publishing in astronomy, so this is good news for the country. We were allocated an additional 400 million for human capital activities for the next generation of researchers, namely for bursaries and scholarship during the 13-14 MTF. And as a custodian of this, what the department had done internally was to develop a framework for how this bursary support would then be expanded or given to the entities, including the National Research Foundation. And then we give you the number of some of the students that were supported and the breakdown between male and female and between black and white students in the system. We think we are on course in the number of postgraduate students that we support and as well as the number of researchers that are awarded grants through the NRF. The same with the number of NRF managed programs. And then, of course, we had started the program of expanding using the science centers and science festival awareness programs within the National System of Innovation. The last program, just some highlights, we had completed by this time a waste research development and innovation roadmap where we try and understand what research can be done to minimize the use of waste in South Africa. And we now need to look at how we're going to identify areas within this broad area of research and target those areas that will help South Africa towards a low carbon economy. We'd also gathered an open call on some of the research and development topics in the area of biocomposites, and as you can see, we are on course in ensuring that there is a substantial impact on the competitiveness of firms in this relatively new area of composite industry. We are on course in making sure that the decision support system that we develop in support of either the municipalities or some other government departments is finalized. As you can see in this case, the decision support that we were working on is the one that is meant to provide information on areas which, as a result of climate change, are vulnerable, and therefore this tool, which we call Rural Innovation Assessment Tool, RIAS, that uses ICT, is then provided to municipalities. We also have a program in Zimbabwe where we're looking at how we can implement and roll out the ICT for basic education in this area. And then, of course, in the 23 district municipalities, we are providing a decision support tool, which is called Corrective Action Request and Report System. In other words, when the public has a fault that they pick up, they can use this ICT-based or even mobile technology-based tool for reporting, and then the municipality will know that there's a problem. Sometimes these things can be fixed online, and sometimes they may not be fixed online, but at least they know that the problem. This is some of the targets that have already been achieved, so I will not spend a lot of time on these. I now wish to hand over to the CFO to share with the honorable members our budget and how it split and where we were at the end of the third quarter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, our budget in support of our strategic objectives for 2014-15, the total budget was 6.4 billion. The bulk of it is actually transferred, but the program, the biggest program where the budget is going, is 3.4 billion, which is program 4, followed by program 5. We've indicated on the slide on how our budget is split. Economic classification, the biggest budget goes to transfers, followed by compensation of employees, followed by goods and services, and then the capital assets. And at the end of December, 31st December 2014, we had underspent by 20.7%, which is 1.2 billion, due to various reasons I think that the DG has already articulated to, and I think I will also just allude to some few areas. What we have done during the course of the year, just to make sure that we don't incur a high risk in terms of having a big bank balance, we would revise on our projections on a monthly basis according to the payments that were already ready, so that we would curb the risk of having the high amount of balance in our bank accounts. So the slide on slide 43 indicates that was our revised land budget, whereas the actual original projected budget was is provided on slide 44. So our budget, the actual budget is at the end of December, we had spent 72.3% of our budget. This is our actual expenditure versus our 5.9, which was initially projected, giving us the 1.2 deviation, which translates to 20% in terms of percentage. The program will also indicated how our budget in slide 45, how our budget would be translated to program. Our planned performance would be in slide 46, which actually shows the actual spending per program. It indicates how much underspending was in care per program. There are reasons for underspending. One of the reasons is our vacant positions. The department could not fill in the vacant positions due to treasury cuts that were introduced for the following year. With the vacancies that we had, we wanted to fill in the post, but unfortunately, because of the cuts, we wouldn't have been able to carry through the funding throughout the MTEF. So we had to cap the expenditure in order to make sure that we don't exceed our spending in terms of compensation. This translates to a concomitant cost that would have been carried through goods and services. If we had filled those positions, we would have incurred certain costs. However, we couldn't incur them as well, so we underspent as well in those areas under goods and services. We have indicated in the slides our expenditure per economic classification, which is why I'm starting with compensation and goods and services. And then in the following slides, we are indicating the understanding per program, which indicates each program and the reasons why they were understanding. On program two, we are indicating that we understand in because of our TIA, which is our entity. We decided that because in the previous year they hadn't exhausted the funds that had been allocated in 2013-14, we would withhold the funding so that they can complete the funding that had been allocated in the previous year. That was just being cautious so that we make sure that the funding that had been spent was actually allocated to targets that had been set. The other reasons include that there are processes that needed to have taken place internally to make sure that the projects that were undertaken were actually performing as they were expected. So due diligence had to be performed to make sure that these projects were performing on course. And the problem three, the reason for understanding was that the international MOU that needs to be signed between the department and the international community, there were delays in signing of those MOUs, so eventually it translated to a bit of an understanding. But on the third quarter, most of those MOUs had been concluded. So on the fourth quarter, the expenditure increased. In program four, the main reason for deviation was also an internal process of finalizing the contract. I think the DG had already articulated that, has indicated that there were internal processes for concluding the contract. And then under program five, the reason for delay was the enhancement of advanced manufacturing technology. Because of the National Development Plan, there were some changes that needed to be done to align with the National Development Plan in order to be able to actually enhance this target. The other delays were due to the processes as well, which were internal. So our challenges have been indicated to be the planning process. Our planning process is not in sync. Our funding planning process is not in sync with our internal processes, which is why we find that we have delays in terms of signing contracts, which is something that we are working on to correct. The contract delays between DST and the entities has also been identified as the reason for our delayed spending, as well as the delayed reprioritization. There were certain targets that were actually changed or delayed due to the reasons that I will provide in the next slide. And we also indicate that the inadequate monitoring of the in-year monitoring of funds between the entities and the DST also needs to be enhanced. We have put remedial actions in place to make sure that we deal with our weaknesses. We have enhanced our planning by ensuring that there's alignment between the projections and the internal processes. And this has been dealt with at a strategic level, where the ESCO has taken decisions that there are internal processes that need to be changed, where we are improving on internal processes by improving on our contractual engagement. As well, we have realized that we need to reprioritize early before the adjustment estimates, which is somewhere around September, so that if there is any underspending that we foresee, then we can actually reprioritize those funds to the areas where we are moving fast in terms of our targets. An oversight body has been established, the CFO's Forum, which is going to assist the department in dealing with the entities, with the spending between the entities, and it will also play an oversight role to make sure that the entities of the DST and the DST are in sync in terms of spending and monitoring of the funds. The other significant improvements that have been made is that we have enhanced our other oversight committees within the department, and the department has also decided that there will be a multi-year funding transfer instead of us contracting individual contracts, which actually wastes the time in terms of spending. We've decided that the contracts that can actually go on longer than 2 or 3 years will be contracted once off, and then we'll be able to put processes in place to make sure that the monitoring of the spending is actually in sync with the MTEF and the year-to-year spending. We've also improved in terms of the audit assessment. Our internal audit conducts assessments on our projects just to make sure that there is oversight in terms of monitoring of contracts and due diligence is conducted per quarter, and to make sure that they enhance our governance as well, in terms of prescriptions. So we have improved on our audit and internal audit processes. The expenditure on consultants, we have reduced our expenditure in terms of consultants. In 2013-14, we had spent 29.6 on consultants, and then in 2014-15, after cost-cutting measures, we reduced by 7.4 million. We have also our strategy for reducing the consultants. Is we are trying to create a capacity internally, which is kind of difficult at this stage due to the cuts that were implemented by Treasury on compensation. We had actually requested a buyment to Treasury just to make sure that we augment our funds in terms of compensation. However, that was not approved, so we'll have to look for an alternative plan. We are also making sure that the skills are being transferred to make sure that we do retain our consultants at minimum level. However, I do need to indicate that the compensation is not going to be an easy one to deal with versus the consultants, because if we don't get our budget approved increase on compensation, we will not be able to reduce our consultant fees because we have to rely still on consultants as well as contract workers. Thank you, sir.
So, Chair, that more or less brings us to the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I see hands rising already. Honorable Imam Sheikh Imam. Honorable Manana. We'll see if further hands come up. Honorable Matuka. Yes, start.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start off on the negative note so we can get to the positive. I think a survey that was done, say South Africa last in that concern amongst the 100 and some odd countries, I think if my figure is correct. But if you can just comment on that for me, I would appreciate that. I see one of our a long and healthy life for all South Africans, and then you're talking about decent employment, to inclusive economic growth, skilled and capable workforce. I'd like you to just elaborate for our purposes what is really the process that you actually do and you follow the intent of that. Next one. You also speak about the socio-economic innovation partnerships, development of strategic partners with other government departments, research institutes and communities. I'd like you to also elaborate what you actually doing there in terms of that. I see you did not comment at all on the AG's report in terms of your challenges in supply chain management, your challenges in terms of not following processes, in key quotations. You have not done those, so I don't know, you know, why you have not actually referred to those challenges that you are facing. So if you can just actually comment on that. I know there are explanations that have been given for the understanding, and whilst the percentage may not seem a lot, 1.2 billion is a lot of money. Let's not run away from that. You say that the memorandum of agreement with the institute were not finalized in this quarter. I want to know whether this was not foreseen in terms of your strategic planning, whether we would not run into difficulty, because surely, you know, when the, in a 12 months, not much can be achieved. And surely we should be able to foresee having some challenges instead of rather coming back and underspending. Because when we underspend, the impression that is created in the department is not performing. It's not up to standard. And it may not necessarily be the case. And that is why I think it might be necessary sometimes to take the necessary precautionary measures to try and prevent that instead of getting you know, a negative response from it. Alright, let me just go and between the consultant and compensation, have you engaged Treasury in things at this point in time as to the challenges you are actually going to face? And like you said, you know, you're going to either have to increase consultancy or the use of consultants because you are now being limited in terms of compensation. So, you know, that seems to appear that there might be a serious challenge. I want to know if science and technology, and my understanding is this, that science and technology is a wide thing. You will fill the gaps and find innovative ways to try and identify challenges that we have and things. And one thing that comes to mind, and I'm not sure if this is a platform for it, but I'd rather ask this question. You know, we have a massive challenge in South Africa in terms of drugs and things entering South Africa. Have we ever considered or have we ever gone in the direction of trying to find something scientifically that can work at all these airports and borders, that whenever somebody is coming in, because you know people are, I mean, I read an article while I was in the plane on Saturday as to the means people use, you know, how they even carry dead bodies. You know, I mean, it was shocking what I read. So I want to know whether we've ever gone that far, whether we're considering things of that nature to be able to try and really be maybe a first in a lot of things. I did speak about that we're not following the process in terms of treasury, which we discuss. Yeah. I want to elaborate on these researchers that we're talking about in Program 4. You know, these researchers that we have and the monies that have been allocated and spent, what if any achievement, what is the purpose, what are we achieving through them, you know, what are the successes that we can actually talk about? When you're talking about a lot of bursaries and things I see is given, and I want to know, given the fact that there's a massive skill shortage in South Africa, are you directing this to specific needs in terms of the skills? Are we, you know, because not everybody has a passion for science and technology, but giving out bursaries is one thing, but trying to give, by giving them to people that will fill the gaps or the shortage of skills at a later stage, maybe not immediately, but in the same, I want to know if that is really happening, because in my understanding, we seem to have a challenge in terms of these bursaries and funding that we're giving, and following it through to ensure that those that are being given that in the first year are going through, and how much of it is just being wasted and as you know, really okay. You know, we do have a massive challenge in terms of math and science, even at school level. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that is. And my concern is this math literacy issue. You know, I don't know what has been introduced, you know, to create an impression people are doing math. What is the massive difference between the two? And more often than not, learners are now taking math, but it's taking them nowhere. And I think the emphasis now is going to be on taking math per se itself. Now, I don't believe that we have enough people, educators and things, to take these programs to the schools. And that is because it's been lost to private sector. Are we not perhaps considering maybe getting experts and those in other countries that might be specialists in math and to come up and roll it out to our schools, especially in the rural areas of things, which I must admit that in my visit, I found that a lot of the educators for me, and I'm sorry I have to say this, appear to be more child-minded than educators. So I believe that there is not a, you know, while we're building new schools, we're not actually taking advantage of our success. Your vacant positions, I want to know what is really the situation, what are really the positions that are vacant, what, you know, at what level are they?
Chair, do you want me to stop there and give some viewers a chance?
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the presentation from the department. And I have three questions that I would like to pose. The first one is on slide 48, where the department indicated that the bulk of the other expenditure was due to the poor expenditure on the Technology Innovation Agency. The agency still had not spent funds dating back from 2014 financial year. This resulted in the department withholding parliamentary grants for the agency. Chairperson, this is a very disturbing statement, and I'm audible enough. The department should briefly outline steps and mechanisms that are put in place to address expenditure management of the agency to improve the future expenditure. Hence, it affects the departmental expenditure projection. The committee should be given more information with regards to address this matter. The second question is, chapter 6, is slide 52, where the department is indicating that inadequate monitoring and delayed reprioritization are cited as part of the challenges contributed towards understanding in the socio-economic innovation partnership program. If the department can share with the committee what measures are put in place to enhance monitoring in order to realize value for money in any services delivered. The last question, Chairperson, is on slide 16, where the statement is referring to the postponement of the four policies that were supposed to be developed. If they can share with us, how far are they in regards to that paper?
So this
slide 16. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chair, I have many comments here. If you wish me to stop at any stage, please just indicate that and I'll do so. I do want my colleagues an opportunity as well. Firstly, thank you to the department for presenting us with what you have. Now, I must say, I get suspicious when I'm given 200 pages of presentation the day before you come to give it to us. Makes me wonder what you don't want me to see, because you've been solid with time to go through it. So, it makes me then want to look deeper into it than I might otherwise do so. If I can just say, I have a few questions, and I think really to do with the function of this particular committee, but I'm asking them because I don't necessarily understand what it is the board does and how you go about doing it, the concepts that you take in place, and I'd like to understand that. On slide 4, is bigger transferring the economy from a research-based into a knowledge-based economy? That gave me some concern, because I wondered, are you suggesting that we ignore the resources we have in favor of knowledge we might not yet have and we hope to gain in the future? How do we actually transfer from one to another when surely we must use what we do have rather than hopefully rely on what we don't yet have and might hope to achieve in the future? It was just a question I had. How do we go about this? What is the bottom line on that? On slide 15, I had a general concern that I first had a difficulty with the terminology you use in achieve moderate risk on course uncertainty. Certainty to me is a positive thing, and yet in this context you're saying this is this is a total failure. It's failed certainly. So I just had a question about that initially. But I had a major concern in the fact that out of your budget in terms of this, you've only achieved 15%. That's a very small percentage in the bigger picture. If you're coming to report to Parliament and say we've actually only achieved 15% of what we set out to do. I accept that it's only 3/4 of the way through the financial year that you're reporting on, and things might change quite a bit in the last quarter, it often happens. But I just had a high concern that this is a very low rate of achievement. However, when I looked into the spreadsheets you gave us, then I started to question why you're rating certain things the way you do. And hopefully I can give you a few examples of what I was saying. If I can just, I'm going to jump ahead a bit. For example, on slide 21, you say the annual target is approved 2015-16 DSD public entity strategic and annual performance plans, signed shareholder compact by 31 March 2015. The third quarter target is second draft of the strategic plans have been submitted to National Treasury, and the progress is the second draft have been submitted to National Treasury. But you only say on course. To me, you'd actually achieved your target for the third quarter, but your report is only being on course. It may be on course for the annual target, but for the third quarter target, it must surely be that you've achieved it. That's why I say I questioned the way it was reported on, because I thought maybe there's a misunderstanding somewhere or a misjoinder. There were other cases where it was the other way, where I thought, how can you possibly say it's achieved when what is said here doesn't indicate that? I'll give an example of that one. On slide 25, in the second part there, you say annual target, 10 dissemination outputs by 31 March. Quarter three target, 5 disseminations. Quarter three progress, 5 disseminations in one article. You say you're on course. Sorry, that once again, you achieved the target for the third quarter according to this. You may not yet have achieved the annual target, but you've achieved the third quarter target. I just wanted to find the one I have in mind. Oh, slide 30. The annual target is 32 specialist or joint technical workshops. The target for quarter 3 is 8 specialists. The target for the quarter 3 progress is 16, and you say it's achieved. And now, what have you achieved? You certainly overachieved on the third quarter target. You haven't yet achieved the annual target. But if I compare that to the way the others were, then I don't understand why those were reported as on course rather than achieved. It would make your whole scenario look different in the pie graph you gave, where, as I said, 15% is very low. But when I analysed this, it looked like it was actually higher than 15%. My way of thinking, you could correct me and tell me I'm wrong. But the way I was reading this, I didn't get the same result too much. On the next slide, for example, on 31, the annual target is 24 initiatives, the third quarter target is 5 initiatives, quarter 3 progress is 7, and again you say on course, well, 7, you've overachieved for your third quarter, you're not yet at the annual target, so maybe that's what you're saying you're on course for, but in terms of this, for the third quarter, I'd say you've achieved it. If I can just come back to where I started this one on. Slide 18, beg your pardon. This is the funding, the 26.3 million funding that you were looking for. It said, action, the process of MOAs for transfers will be fast-tracked. Now, presumably that was at the end of the third quarter. But my question was, what progress has been made? Is that one going to be achieved? It said for the moderate risk at the time. But if it was then fast-tracked, has it now been achieved? Because we're now past the end. Slide 18. 18, yes, so that was the funding. On slide 20, the one in the middle, draft basic sciences conceptual framework, I imagine that's a typo, it should be 31 December 2014, not 15. So that's outside of this particular report framework. I had a lot of similar sort of questions about the way it was supported on January. But I don't need to belabor the point, I think I've illustrated what I meant. Just carry on to. On slide 29, let's start at 28 first. I just wanted to ask you, also bilateral relations in Africa were conservatively promoted November 2014, most of this is Ethiopia and Sudan. My question there was, do Ethiopia and Sudan have much to offer in terms of science and technology? I'd be surprised if that was the case. Or are we offering it to them? Are we trying to uplift them with such a bilateral agreement? Or are we looking to them to assist us? I just thought it was strange that we would pick out Ethiopia and Sudan, which both, as far as my information is concerned, fairly talented countries compared to ours. I just wanted to know what progress has been made. This sounds like a very exciting project. This one with Cisco and the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University. Has that progressed since that stage? Because that sounds like something that we could well worth looking into. So then I had a question on slide 33. Slide 33, you say the annual target is 1,456 South African researcher and student participants. The quarter 3 target is 147 South African researcher and student participants. It seems like a very small portion of the annual target. Then the quarter 3 progress is that there's 204 South African researchers participate. It's obviously way over the third quarter target, but if these are sort of reflective of the first and second quarters, when we go to the bigger picture, not get anywhere near our main target. Can you maybe just comment on that for me? On slide 34, could you just explain to me, in my ignorance, but I don't know what is meant by an Indigenous Knowledge System Documentation Centre. What is Indigenous Knowledge and what does the System Documentation Centre actually do? What is the purpose of that? Then, in the report on the Center for Research on Evaluation Science and Technology, you said results are promising and indicating a fair return on investment. I would like to hear a bit more about that. What exactly are you telling us? Is this a financial return on a financial investment, or is it a knowledge return? I just wanted confirmation. This extra is now slide 35, sorry. The additional 400 million for human capital development, I presume that's over and above anything that happens in the Departments of Education, NSFAS, etc. This is entirely within your department, if you just confirm that to me. Then the next point down, I was a little surprised that the female target is 60%. Why is it more than 50%? Surely we want gender equality, not gender domination. I wondered why I picked the target of 60% rather than 50%. Perhaps you could just explain that one to me. 9:37, I had the same difficulty with the way it was reported on in both instances. For example, the bottom one says the annual target is one implementation plan for the SGEMI. Third quarter target is three science festivals, six TMI Olympiads and competitions. We say a total of five SGEMI Olympiads and six festivals have been completed. It doesn't actually talk to the implementation plan. We're reporting on things that don't seem to be directly related to the annual target. We've obviously achieved some things here, but what are we achieving them against if we're reporting on them? I just wondered why, if the target was three and we've done five, we've achieved our target. But the annual thing is something else than the plan, not the actual festivals. I was very interested to read on slide 38. There's been this research into composites. Just by way of explanation, a short while ago we did some oversight in the Eastern Cape where we had quite a long involvement with the department there because they've been importing pipes from China that were made of a composite material. And they said that's the only place they could get them. Now to read that there's stuff going on right here at home on composites. I was very interested to see that because I thought, well, perhaps you guys could talk to the Department of Water and Sanitation and see if you can't solve some of their problems in the piping making, because it can certainly save us a lot of money if we can do it locally rather than import from China. Madam CFO, if I could just ask you a few questions. I was a little puzzled. Please understand, I'm not a financial person. But when, on slide 43, you tell us this is a revised planned expenditure, does one normally plan for a deviation? It's surprising to me to see in a plan you have a deviation. I know you plan for a contingency sometimes to allow for certain things, but to plan for a deviation, to me at the moment, seems a bit strange. Perhaps you could just explain that to me. Because I see even in the original projection, it was also the projection that there would be a deviation. Slide 47, I had a little bit of a difficulty with it. Because you say, reasons for deviations, and the first explanation you give us is compensation of employees. Due to vacant positions and budget cuts. When I looked at the other documents we're doing, the expenditure report, it shows on there that your payments, compensation of employees, your planned expenditure is $290. I think that was, if I remember right, this was the budget amount. But this document I'm going to have different to the one that was forwarded to us electronically, the percentages that we've taken out and so on. But it seems to me on that we were going to run into over expenditure on our compensation, because what was left was not enough to carry for the rest of the year. I had a concern on that. And yet here we're reporting about a deviation and under expenditure. But then you said that the budgets were cut. Now, if you've got vacant positions and they cut the budget so you can't fill those positions, then that shouldn't cause an under expenditure because you no longer have the money. The budget's been cut, so you don't have the money to pay for those vacant positions. If they're funded positions, it's a different story. Then you would have the money, you just can't fill it vacancy because it's been suspended or frozen or whatever the case may be. But if you could just put me more in the picture here, because from the figures, it looks like you're going to run into an overspend. And yet here you're using it as an explanation for an underspend. I see the same item comes up again under goods and services. The second point is also reduced spending as a result of vacant positions. Just as a general comment, it was a concern of mine to, when I looked at the compensation of employees, it seems to me that you have five programs in the department. Programs 2 through 5 are your core business functions. That's what you're there to do. And yet, your expenditure on employees in program 1, which was administration program, is almost the same as the other four put together. There's not much difference. So you're spending as much on your core business function as you are in administrating that function, or administering that function. I just thought to me in terms of various of things. And I'm just wondering why that is. Why is it we have such a high level of employees, if you like, within the administration of the department without actually addressing the core function of the department, the job for this reason for existence? Concern I had was that a lot of your reporting on problems that you experienced is to do with planning. You've identified planning as one of the major problems that you have, but your plans don't address the real issues. Your department is not a new department. It's been around for some time. Surely by now planning should be something that's happened and done. I know if a new project comes up, obviously you've got a plan for that specific project to get it going. But in the bigger picture, this thing with delays on contracts and you're waiting for a legal advisor to give you advice and all this kind of thing, I say, there's something wrong here. Not necessarily your department's fault, I understand that, because now you're waiting on other departments to do things. But generally, across the board with departments, we need to streamline this kind of thing, because we can't have the administration collectively holding up the business of the departments and what they're supposed to achieve. So, I welcome you saying that you've identified it and that it has to happen and we need to fix it. This job, we really need to address it. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I think I've said all I have to say for now.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Shopper, you have your hand up. And Honorable Dr. C. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the department for the briefing. I just want to remind my neighbor, my dear neighbor here, that there are more women human beings in South Africa than men. So it is quite in order to have more than 50%. I just want to say, I really appreciate the fact that when the spending on vacancies was reduced, the spending on this and surgery followed. Because that shows that you were really conscious of the fact that the goods and services cannot just spend just for the sake of spending. I really appreciate that one. I also appreciate the fact that you have got internal audit that you say it has improved or your relationship have improved. I just want to know if you have got an audit comment. And if you do have an audit committee, is that audit committee independent? The reason why I'm saying this is it's usually very helpful to any institution to have that type of arrangement, because they actually pick up things and advise you before the end of the year when the audit section has come. And also to say that you see, it's very helpful for any institution to have good and reliable financial statements, because these are actually management tools. They are in no way police research
document, they actually assist you as manager. And as the chairperson alluded to when he offered, our aim is not to reach hands. Our aim is to assist you to have sufficient funding, to spend your funding correctly, because you know now we have a problem, an extra problem that we can must all be aligned to the slow growth in our economy. This is very serious. And we always need to apply our mind when we give the issues.
Thank you. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Obviously, being the fourth person speaking, there's a lot of it has been covered, so I'll try not to duplicate any of the issues. I also pick up, while reading through the documents that were given to us, the ratings and the gradings, some of them didn't make sense, so that was a general observation that I picked up. In this document here, as well, the report, not on the slides, there was also a overspending of transfer to capital assets of about 3.06 million. So can we just get an explanation for that, please? Then if I may refer to your presentation slides, and I'll try and go as quick as possible. Slide number 16, dealt with, just for my information, you talk about consultation with Tensa. Now, can I just get more information regarding what they do, how many spaceships we sent up to space, or what they really do that Tensa is, because I've noticed that we spend some money dealing with them. Slide number 18. I am not going to relate this point too much, because it's about the rating, but nevertheless, if you look at your quarter 3 pounds of 26 million, the progress is 9 million, and you indicate the status as moderate risk. Now, sure, I mean, that is not even, it's about 30%, and that is rated as moderate risk. So there's quite a few of those that I would like to, well, I'm not going to highlight all of them, but, you know, maybe just for comment on those. Slide number 19. The antenna that has been installed on the 16th of December, and the plan is to have 4 antennas installed before the end of March. Can we get an indication of whether that has been done? Because the date is passed. Oh, okay. Apologies. Yeah. Okay. That date, if it has happened, on slide number 23. You know, it's good and well. We talk about the first bullet point. Third quarter was an act of beautiful training initiatives with 42 candidates. Is there an estimate of the cost per candidate, just to see whether there's value for money being attained here? So can you just comment on that? Slide number 24. No. Okay, maybe we could. I indicated the space sub-program successfully hosted Space Week. Is there any idea of what the cost of that space week was for this slide number 20, sorry, number 43 now, all the others have been covered, 43. The CFO indicated that there's an underspend. Now, I just want clarification. In my view, there's a difference between underspend and unspend. Because if it's unspent, then clearly it's not problematic, because we're looking at that point, I think it's 75%. But if you talk about underspend, then clearly it could be problematic. Slide number 48, Honorable Chair, nearly done. I notice, and that seems to happen quite frequently, I'm not talking about specifically this department, but the last sentence, it says, there's a problem. This has resulted in the department withholding a parliamentary grant payment of 126 million. Clearly, somebody has been disadvantaged, or somebody disadvantage? And then could you also indicate what that money that has been transferred to the department, where it's withheld? Is it with the department of the State of Treasury? What happens to that money while you're withholding it? Slide number 49, second last one. Oh, okay. Sorry, this was just an error. The last sentence there talks about the year 2015, I'm assuming it's 1450. I'm just making an assumption. And then the last slide, number 57, just again here, can I just, for clarification, I say, oh, you're making a comparison with expenditure 2013-14 and 2014-15. That's for 2014-15. Is that 12 months being compared to 12 months? In other words, is that the full year? I noticed the heading is 13th March. I'm not sure if that's a typo. But if it is for the end of the financial year, I must say that you've done a good job, because the year's ended about three weeks ago, and you've already got your final figure. So if it is, so well done. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you. You want to add? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, colleagues. I'd like to just comment on the irregular expenditure of 52 million, as well as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 633,000, if you could perhaps do that as well. I just want to go to slide 15 again. 56% of your target of performance was you did not achieve. And given the fact that I've just heard from my colleague here now that you already have your results for the full financial year, if you could perhaps tell us where we are, if you are going to be anywhere close to achieving the 100% or 98% or 95%. The thing that worries this committee is the last quarter, where a lot of fiscal dumping takes place, if that's what we call it. So if you can just on that one. And then there we are. I don't know if this was, if I had followed it through, the technology innovation. Now this, previous years, of course, these budgets were not actually used fully. Could you perhaps tell us that in terms of your strategic planning, why did you continue planning and more when you know that this particular department or so was not actually making use of what was already allocated? So we've had challenges in the previous years, but I see that we have actually
yes, just one or two issues that I'd like to raise myself. The vacancy issue, which is always a challenge in terms of capacity of the department to perform their duties. We would be interested to know whether the vacancies are actually funded vacancies and what are challenges that hold you back from filling those posts. The second issue that one would raise, I see in slide 16 and 19, some of your programs are delayed by the EXCO not putting the issues on the agenda and therefore not approving. What are challenges in terms of why is EXCO, which I suppose is part of yourselves, or you represented in that structure, could we be enlightened as to why issues are put off the agenda and therefore not discussed and decided upon, and you don't receive approvals for that? Because that seems to affect your spending as well. It's part of the cause of your underspending. The last issue, of course, is your Technology Innovation Agency, which did a bad job of not spending the funds in 2013-14. And as a result, we have withheld their allocation for this financial year. Since then, what has happened? How far has this entity corrected that situation? But also of probably bigger worry to ourselves is that you as a department should be holding that entity to account. And it is not quite clear to us what steps have you taken to ensure that that entity spends the money allocated to it. We are at the end of the financial year again now. What then happens with the funds that you have withheld so far? The major issue here is that seemingly that entity is not quite functional. If they can't spend, then there's a serious problem there. And we want to understand what the department is doing too. It's already the end of the second year, and you don't seem to be telling us that you're dealing with the challenge. So if you can explain that to us. Otherwise, we appreciate your report. You are saying to us by the end of the fourth quarter you will have spent at least 80% of your budget. And I see that in one of your programs you're saying that you are rolling over that program to the 2015-16 year. But that program is funded as well. Has National Treasury agreed to you rolling over the funds as well? Thank you. Let me allow members to, just before that, Honorable Shopperstone, let's take a after Honorable Shopperstone, let's take refreshments for 5 minutes. Our colleagues who are with us today are also invited to take refreshments. And thereafter we will deliberate on the questions that members have requested. But before that, Honorable Shopperstone, can you raise your question and then we will take a short break.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see they make a lot of transfers, and I would like to know which entities are doing, if you can be allowed to know this.
Okay, let's take a break. 5 minute break, and then we reconvene to have a further deliberation. Thank you. This was in our head.
Thank you.
colleagues, let's get back to business. I'm informed that there is going to be another portfolio committee meeting here at about 1 o'clock. So we should try and finish our business between 12:30 and, yeah, let's say 12:30, because also staff has got to clean up this whole room before it can be ready for use by another committee. If we could try and do that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. Colleagues from the department, I hand over to you to respond to the issues that members have raised. I forgot to say that members must introduce themselves when they ask questions so that our colleagues can attach a name to the question. And let's just introduce ourselves. I'm sure they will remember who, to some extent, who asked what. Starting from Marshall's topic.
My name is Sheila Sobek-Tori. I'm a member of the committee. And by the way, I'm an MEP member of the committee.
Julie knows it, ma'am. As also the look on your face when you said it. My name is Alan McLaughlin. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
I just have a problem, Honourable Chairperson. My colleague here has been threatened by the woman from the woman's. My name is Malcolm Fick. I'm a member of this committee.
Colleagues, I'm AMS Imam and I'm a loyal member of this committee.
I'm Funya the Manana, member of the committee, also a NEC member of the Women's League.
The women in the department are well defended. My name is Ndaba Twabaza, and I'm standing in for Honorable Paul Mashatile, who is chairperson of this committee. Staff to introduce themselves, starting from the secretary of the committee.
Good afternoon, all. My name is Darren Adams. I'm the committee secretary of the Senate Committee on Appropriations.
Vandile Hadi, also committee secretary.
Good morning. Tepo Masuyo, content advisor to the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, members. Elia Matigane, the researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology.
There is a liaison officer from National Treasury. And they are officials from National Treasury.
Ricardo Andrews, Public Finance, National Treasury.
And
I'm
the secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology. Good morning, all. I'm Renee Oswald Mullins, and I'm the project advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology. Thank you. Over to you.
The gentleman coming in is Mr. John, who is also a researcher
for the
committee. Thank you very much, Chair. Again, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we hope we got all the names correct. If we didn't, please excuse us, but we'll try and do our best. Chair, when I listened to the comments, I'd like to start off by saying they are in certain categories. The one category is in the category of finance, and I would like to request the CFO to specifically deal with those. I will skip them in my responses because she is better positioned to know everything about them. And then the second set of comments deal with the format of the report and the nature of the targets. I will make an attempt to respond to those, and then I'll ask David to probably add on that. And then the third set of comments relates to the business of the Department of Science and Technology. There are a number of requests to explain, for instance, what is the IKS Document Center, what is program FIP, what does SANSA do, and so forth and so forth. I will respond to those specifically today, but I'd like to make a suggestion to the chair that maybe at a slot that through you could be made available, maybe we come and share what the department does and how it does its work and what we intend to do, because we will respond to this today, but I suspect when we come back for another quarter, there will be other issues that will come and then the same question, whereas if we come and give a global perspective, maybe starting with the strategic plan that we will be presenting to the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology tomorrow, and then come and explain what each program does. We can do it either at once, or we can probably spread it over two sessions where maybe we select programs 2 and 3 to come in and share, and then another 4 and 5, so you get a global picture of what we do. But we'll leave that up to the chairperson. So let me start, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, on the first question around what is it, why is our math and science not where it's supposed to be. The Department of Science and Technology is not responsible for math education. I just want to put that very clear. Not because I want to duck the question, so that as we respond to the question, again, we are clear what the roles are. We do, however, support the Department of Basic Education on things which we call off-curriculum support. So we provide support through a program in the department which is called Youth into Science Strategy. And here we look at initiatives such as the Math Olympiads and off-school activities. We take girls to camps in math and science during, for instance, the winter or summer breaks. So these are the things that we do to support the basic education. We support them with the introduction of tablets, as I've said, in the Tofimbaba area, train the teachers, monitor whether there is better outcomes because of the introduction of tablets, working with the HSRC, and providing alternative technologies in a rural setting to assist the school in the Tofimbaba area through different energy provisions, different nutritional support work that we're doing at the Department of Science and Technology, and so forth and so forth. However, to answer specifically to your question, I always say it depends what kind of answer you're looking for. Are you looking for an answer that is politically sensitive, or are you looking for an answer of what the issues are? I'll explain what I mean by this. I studied maths, and a couple of colleagues in the department who have qualified with their master's and PhD degrees. They did this under the old apartheid Bantu education. Not only did they study in the Bantu education institution, some of them have got their qualifications in historically white universities like this, Penn, UCT, and Stellenbosch, and others. Others have gone overseas. So the problem of maths and students understanding maths has got nothing to do with the ability of our kids in South Africa to be able to comprehend the subject. It may have something to do with the fear of the subject at the beginning, like we all had the same fear, but with the proper support of teachers and with teachers who know the subject, it is possible to have kids who can do better. So that's why I'm saying the honest answer is that at the moment, maybe we have not looked at the problem holistically, and maybe the quality of the teaching. For those who know this, and that's why I declare upfront that I don't have the facts,
because we don't do this in the Department of Science and Technology. Maybe the Department of Basic Education has analyzed what is challenging from the teaching side and from the kids. But my view is that the kids, we used to compete in our class on the problems in the book that had asterisks and double asterisks for the advanced students, and we were able to crack this problem. So let me then come back to the issue of what is the socio-economic partnership part of the department's task. It is the program that looks at, is it possible to demonstrate the use of science and technology that we know in order to better the social conditions of the society and better the economic performance of our industry in the sector. That's broadly what they do. And therefore they have a set of programs which of course are initiated by the department, but they are done by the entities that report to us. I can then give four examples of the things that they do. On the economic front, they have, for instance, two programs that are meant to support small and medium enterprises. This is done through a technology stations program which is run by the Technology Innovation Agency. And the idea here is that at some of the universities of technologies, we have technology stations that work with the SMMEs around the area to provide knowledge and technology know-how to small medium enterprises around the area. They may be needing a technology solution on how to have better claim for the products that maybe small medium enterprises in the area are interested in. The second small medium enterprise support that they provide is through the partnership that the Department of Public Enterprise has with the Department of Trade and Industry, where they have identified small medium enterprises that could supply certain products and services to the procurement program of the state-owned companies called Competitiveness Supplier Development Program. So in order to localize the technology that comes from somewhere so that you can strengthen these small medium enterprises, we then work with universities to provide technology localization capabilities to those small medium enterprises so that they would then be able to get the contract as supplier to the big firms that are providing technology to this, whether it's Transnet or whether it's SAA and so forth. One SME, for instance, in the area of power was provided with the technology on how you can do better winding of transformers, and they've been able to secure contracts with Eskom, and they are now exporting, for instance, to Nigeria. So that's a specific example. And then in the area of economic competitiveness, we work with industry on areas that the industry has identified, and they would say we need help in this area. To date, I think we've got 10 sector innovation funds, which we are funding through economic competitive support program that we receive from Treasury, and working with industry associations that are looking at how technology can be used to sustain their industries and probably to get into export. So we work with the forestry industry, we work with the food industry, we work with the paper manufacturing industry. I think we've got about 10 or so of these sector innovation funds, and we want to expand on these. And then the third area of the work that they do is the work in support of other government departments' initiatives that they'd like to do. In my presentation, I show, for instance, a couple of examples where we support municipalities. So this is the work that we'll be doing with COCTA, for instance, where maybe weak municipalities have been identified, and then we work with them on how technology can enhance the service delivery using science, technology, and innovation. So that's more or less what this program what this program does. I will then hand over, say, at the right time to the CFO on a question around the AG's finding on the supply chain and issues relating to that, consultants and the issue of compensation. And then you asked a question about drugs entering South Africa. There's no specific work that we're doing at the moment, but I think it's something that we could look at, because sometimes knowing
You have to know, though, what you're looking for sometimes, because if you don't, then scientifically and technologically it's not okay. For instance, if you know that you're looking at cocaine, what you can then do is to get a spectral signature of the cocaine and what it looks like in the lab, and then you can then design a machine that every time when you have a someone with a cocaine passing through the machine, like you do with the X-ray detection machine, if the parcel that goes through does not meet that spectral signature, then you would know. So it's something that I think for some maybe of the high things that are being smuggled in South Africa, it can be done, and something that we could develop in consultation with CSR, for instance, one of the agencies that reports to us. And then you talked about the elaborating on the type of researchers that we found. We have a National Research Foundation. The division of responsibilities between the Department of Higher Education and Training and Science and Technology is that we fund researchers, so these are professors at universities that are doing research, and then we fund honors, masters, and PhD students, with an understanding that the undergraduate students and some funding around the postgraduate broadly is shared between us and the Department of Higher Education and Training. So the funding is provided through the National Research Foundation on research areas that we have identified as the department through the policy documents that I talked to earlier on, for them to then perform research in those areas. At the moment, one of our key flagship areas of research is the area of paleo sciences. As you know, we have huge farms in Sterkfontein, so it is in the interest of this country, because of these fossils that we have, to try and understand the origins of where we come from through the fossil farm. So there's an area of targeted research in that area. The second area is in the area of astronomy. And as you know, we've invested hugely as this country in the area of astronomy, and we think we're beginning to get some dividends as a result of the knowledge that is coming, the breakthroughs that we are making in terms of, I'm sure you've seen an article 2 weeks ago of a comet that was found through one of our astronomers based in South African Astronomical Observatory. This makes maybe not economic returns immediately, but it makes people to begin to see that South Africa does research, and it helps us to attract high quality researchers into South Africa. And then these researchers also, of course, play a very important role in training masters and PhD students that we need for the science system and for the research system, but they also train masters and PhD students who actually work in industry. I've been told that a large number of students who are working in the banking industry have PhD degrees that have been doing modeling work within the science system, because the modeling capability that they are trained on becomes very useful in industries such as the finance institution. So we do find Sasol, for instance, a large number of PhD company, most of those are trained. So we do need those highly trained people that not only stay within the system, but that go. So that's what these researchers do. The second part of your question as to whether the master's and PhD training provide the skills that we need, not through the research and the skills that we do, but I have indicated, for instance, that we have these programs such as the Technology Stations program, as well as the tech localization. That's where we train technical skills in the area of high tech requirements that are needed, or people who are needed, whether it's in the machining industry or whether it's in the use of laser industry. So we work with the universities of technology, for instance, to see whether we can have people who need experiential learning as part of them completing the technical skills and training that they need in order for them to be then deployed in the high and medium tech industry. I will leave the vacancy rate question to the CFO. The penultimate question from you was, where are we now in terms of the target? David told me this morning that we are still very fine, but we're sitting between 77% and 83%. Of course, before we can give you the exact number, we have to make sure, because the AG only takes the percentage once all the targets that we have achieved have got information that can be verified.
but David can add if I'm, out of the kit with the, with those numbers. And then may I combine the question of the lack of consistent achievement of targets of this technology innovation agency, of the technology innovation program of the DST, with the challenges we've had with the technology innovation agency? And a couple of members have raised this question. This is a problem that started 4 years ago when the agency is a new agency. It was set up in 2010 or 11, thereabouts. It was set up by having a number of programs which we had in the system, which were fragmented and they were put together in a single organization. So we discovered then in 2012, 2013 that things were not going according to plan. So the organization was subjected to external review, and there were two findings out of this review. One set of findings was that the focus of the organization was not in line with what the department intended to do, and they were then asked to develop a new strategic plan and a new way in which they would focus on the intended focus of the Technology Innovation Agency. The focus is the following, that we have a number of ideas that come from universities that need to be taken into the marketplace. And those ideas need to be nurtured and they need to be funded. And the organization was focusing more on financing innovations in companies that were already existing. And therefore, that was a bit of a mismatch. So since 2013, then, we've been working with the new board. New board was appointed. New board has subsequently appointed a new CEO who started mid-April. And in the meantime, we've been having a series of challenges in the organization. The previous CFO had to be requested to resign. The CFO had to resign, and a couple of senior executives. So this problem has been in the last 2.5 years within the organization, but the department is working with the new board that got appointed to try and reconfigure the organization to what it's ought to be. And this has then had an impact on the targets of the technology innovation, because their targets are linked to the performance of the technology innovation agency. The second finding of this review was that there were a lot of financial mismanagement within the organization at that time. And subsequently, the new board decided to have a forensic audit. And out of that forensic audit, there were some findings that the new board found, and those audits for the things that we felt that the law was broken, it was sent, I think, number 7 to the officials that deal with people who misappropriate public funds. I'm not sure how far that process is. So those are the two major findings. And therefore, the problems that we're having in the agency now are the problems that are a legacy. The department and the new board is working hand in hand to try and address these problems. And so I say the old guard is now not in the agency anymore. We have a new board, we have a new CEO, and hopefully things will begin to get better. My own assessment as the accounting officer is that we may still have these problems with us at least for the 2015-2016, because in the quarter reports 2 and 3 that we have received, it doesn't look like the internal processes in the organization have been optimized to be able to really process even the applications that they receive, so the money will be spent. I am aware, CFO, to date, that at the end of the year, they could not spend approximately 45 million of the money that was allocated to the agency. And that's one of the reasons that our own expenditure this year is sitting at 98.8, which is the final figure of where we are. Usually we spend over 99% of our budget. So this is a problem we are aware of. This is a problem that we are trying to address. And at this point in time, as I say, I suspect 2014 and 15, the problem is still with us. But I do hope that maybe 15 and 16 and 16 and 17, things will start to get better, provided the new CEO comes to the party. So I hope I've addressed the other
questions as well around the Technology Innovation Agency. I now like to address the broad question before I come to the specific question around the way in which the report and the color coding has been put together. I accept, the comments by Honorable McLachlan and Honorable Malcolm Fee. Correct. I think we can do better. I agree that some of the quota targets that have been achieved should have been different color coding, and I think we'll try and work on that. I just want to perhaps go back and say the nature of the targets in the department are twofold. There are targets that we cannot actually report on a quarterly basis. And I'll give an example. If you talk about the number of students that you offer bursaries to, or the number of students that then qualify, you can only know that at the end of the year. And there are a number of those targets. For instance, the publications, we get estimates from entities as to when the publications would be finalized, but the actual timing of when a publication is written and when it gets no matter how tight you can plan for those, it's just not possible that you'll be able to deliver on the exact time, unlike if you're saying, I know that it takes 3 months for me to build a house, I do know that at the end of the third quarter, if I will have started by this time. So we have a mix of targets that can be reported on specifically per quarter. We've got targets that we try and develop milestones towards those targets in a quarterly report. But I do agree that even on this report, we could have done better, and we'll try and fix that next time. So again, there are a number of examples that I think are speaking to that, and we take the point completely. I'd now like to turn to Honorable McLachlan's concept question around the knowledge-based economy and why do we call it like that. Perhaps what we mean by this is that even on our resource-based sector, we do need knowledge. If you have to do deep mining at the level that we're doing it, you can't do it unless you have knowledge. So maybe to say we are moving away, it's not the correct term, but it's to deepen knowledge, even on resources, but also to start identifying sectors that really don't rely on resources, where the country must not, in our view, be overly relying on resources for foreign exchange, but develop value-added products that we manufacture that require knowledge for us to be able, for instance, we've been doing our own analysis that the current account deficit is approximately 200 billion and the bulk of that is made by high-tech manufacturing that we import into South Africa. So how can we use knowledge to minimize 200 billion that we have to spend every year because of the export-import balance ratio? So that's essentially, I think, what we're trying to do. Again, I think the rest of your comments predominantly were on the mismatch, on the way that this can be done. As I say, we take full responsibility for that, and then we'll try and fix it next time. And then there was a specific question around the MOAs and how we can fast-track this. Yes, we can, but sometimes these MOAs are with countries outside South Africa. So if you're working with Egypt or somebody else, you try a level best and you have to rely on consent reminder, and it's not totally in your control, and therefore we try and do our level best. Eventually, because there's money involved, these things eventually get signed, but it's not always. But for the ones that we have to sign, which was your secondary point, with other government departments, the same problem happens. If we have to sign an agreement with the Department of Health on some of the things that we do to support them, it's not always easy for us to get the things signed at the time that we would like, because maybe they are approval processes are not the same as us. So we sort of some stuck a target that we set up on that with the hope that it would be done on time. And then there was a question on Ethiopia, Sudan, and why the choice of that. And the answer is twofold. In our engagements in the rest of the continent, we do two things. One, we have a developmental approach where we offer what we have in terms of expertise in science and technology, and they know how this system is managed with our partners in the rest of the continent. So they can learn from us, and hopefully we do learn from them, by the way, even though they may not be in some of the areas as advanced as us. The second one is a selfish one that says, as we partner, there may be opportunities of jointly exploiting knowledge with them. And I can give examples of this. When we work with our colleagues in Kenya, in the medical research area, you would know, and I apologize, Chair, that the example I'm giving may not be appropriate, that they were doing research on sex workers that did not contract the HIV virus. And with the research work that we are doing on HIV and AIDS in South Africa, it was an appropriate partnership to learn from each other how we can work together on this area. That's one example. Another example that we found was that in the agriculture area, they were dealing with the problem of the animals that are called stem borers in their crops. These animals would come and damage their crops, and they noticed something in Kenya that during a certain period of this planting of the crops, there were bees that would come during the certain time, and these bees would chase away the stem borers, and then they started to plant the things that would attract bees in around the area, so that they would. So things, they may not be high tech, but I think there are things that we can learn, and so our aim is to really work with most of the countries with these two objectives in mind. In fact, there is a new strategy now that is being developed by our colleagues in ICR around proper engagement. The progress on the Cisco NMMU has been finalized. There was a launch of the center with Cisco executive last month in NMMU, and what it's doing is really looking at the new way in which you use light for propagating information faster. And Cisco has an interest in this. We are doing this with the SKA, having to transport large amounts of data from the SKA site to the rest of the world, and therefore there's a three-way partnership, NMMU, SKA, as well as Cisco. So the center is up and running now at NMMU, and we are looking at how many students would like to train and how we can develop technologies in partnership with SKA. IKS. What we have found working with indigenous knowledge holders is that a lot of multinational drug companies actually work with indigenous knowledge holders, but we don't know this, because they go and speak to them, and after they've explained to them what a particular drug does, they then go and do research and find the active ingredients out of those medicinal plants. So what we're wanting to do is to have a database where an indigenous knowledge holder would register their knowledge into this data center, this portal or IT system. And therefore, when anyone uses it and exploits it, it can always be traced as knowledge that belongs to that particular. So we're working with a number of provinces that work with traditional holders. It's an attempt to really codify what is in people's head, so it can be tracked for benefit sharing further down the line. So we've been doing this for quite some time, and it's quite involved. And then the analysis of the center at Stellenbosch Crest, it's a knowledge return. We've invested a huge amount of money in astronomy, so we've been looking at the publications that are coming and begin to compare South Africa with the rest of the world. I think the initial indication of this study is that in this category of work and the publications in astronomy, the knowledge return, I think we are beginning to be in the top 10 or just top 15. I can't give you the exact number, but again, we can provide that as an example. So in other words, we're beginning to get return in terms of the knowledge. Of course, it's more than knowledge. If we look at the SKA, at an appropriate time when you ask us to come and update you with the SKA, not only are we building the dishes, but we're beginning to have technologies out of what they are doing that we are beginning to export. One of the software that was developed by our SK-18 in South Africa is now being exported to NASA because they want to use it for some of the processing technologies that they need. So the return for this craft analysis is a knowledge return, but we are looking at not only knowledge in terms of raw ranking of publications, but also in products and services. And then the 400 million, yes, it was new money for increasing our human capital. So we, Treasury did not say what we should use it for. So we've used part of the money to support established researchers because they are the ones that produce a lot of masters and PhDs, but it's also been used to make sure that we've got bursaries for masters and PhD students across the entire system. Why 60% female target? We needed to, we are starting from a very low base and a completely skewed balance between women and men in the science system. So as part of our transformation agenda, we have to skew against women so we can attract more women in, at the honors level, and then hopefully they will stay in the system. I think those were the, and then there was a question on the composites. We'll be delighted to get the details of the department that was exporting from China, water and sanitation. We do have a collaboration with them, but maybe we haven't spoken about the composite water. It's something that we'd be more than happy to. And then the ratio of admin to core, I'm not sure if Member Seller wants to comment on that in terms of the staffing. I can just say at the highest level, there is a lot of compliance work that we have to adhere to. And whether we like it or not, whether it's in support of the MTSF outcomes, whether it's the work that we need to data that we need internally for reporting on management performance assessment tool, or whether it's making sure that we stick to the PFMA guidance. And so it is really skewed, but we do think that we need to have an appropriate engine and all the necessary checks and balances internally for the funds that we have. But I'm happy to ask the number seller to talk about this. I think, Honorable Imana, I there was a question that you asked that I didn't respond to on the outcomes. The department is supporting these outcomes in various ways. There are things that we're doing in research in support of health. We have a very large program, for instance, on HIV and AIDS. It's done not necessarily by the department, by one of the, or a number of institutions. For instance, we work with the MRC, we work with the Center for AIDS Research, CAPRISA, at the University of KZN, and others. And therefore, we look at those things that can support the Department of Health. We're working with the CSIR to support the pilots in the NHI for the information system that is needed in order for an appropriate implementation of the NHI. In terms of skills development, we support Honorable Minister Zimale on the right skills that are needed for the economy in Outcome 5. And then there are a range of activities, as you've heard, that we do to support the economic diversification as the DGI wants to. So we can, again, on an appropriate stage, if it's necessary, can spell out exactly what the support is, what targets we have to report on as part of that. So where am I? Honorable Shopping. I'll leave the question of the audit committee. I can quickly say the entities are the National Research Foundation, the CSIR Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, South African National Space Agency, the Technology Innovation Agency, Human Sciences Research Council, and then we've got two other entities, the Academy of Sciences of South Africa, as well as the National Advisory Council. We can just provide a list of those entities and how much actually goes to each of the entities of the 92%. The issues of where we are, Honorable Malcolm, pick on the antenna. We now have four antenna that are on site, so we are delayed, but four of them now, they are just being commissioned. I do not have the exact cost of the Space Week and then the the cost per candidate of the WIPO. Said the CFO was trying to do a back of the envelope calculation. I've advised them not to do that, that we do that properly, and through the chairperson we can then provide you with that information rather than us trying to remember the details that we may not have today. I will leave that to talk about what happened to the parliamentary grant that was withheld from a treasurer, and we note again the same comment around the formulation of the target. Which one am I left with? Honorable Mana. I hope my response to the Technology Innovation Agency has provided you with the responses, the challenges that we have with, and then the issue of value for money. We have developed a set of indicators and targets on what is the economic return, the social return, and the savings to government out of the work that we do in the Department of Science and Technology. We would be happy to come with specifics on what we have quantified as value for money on some of the programs that we do in the Department of Science and Technology. The way we would do this is that we focus on the economic value, which would be perhaps split into support small and medium enterprises, where we look at the amount of money that we provide to the small and medium enterprise. We then look at the amount of additional amount of money we get from the industry, and then we look at the returns that the small and medium enterprise has because of so it's quite a complex process. In certain instances, we provide savings to government. For instance, you can imagine that if we develop a cheap diagnostic tool, how much money you save in government for having those people not treated for a particular disease further down the line. And we are developing a diagnostic tool for TB, and we heard from the Department of Health that the cost saving that it would do for them to treat people with TB, and ultimately, of course, people who, because they have TB, they get co-infected with HIV and AIDS, it's huge savings because you don't have to put those people into ARV. So we'll rather come and share the framework and the case studies that we have been looking at to try and look at. We've just presented this, by the way, to Treasury. One of the programs in bioeconomy has shown that using a micro biology-based breeding program for forests, you can save the industry huge amounts of money than if you use normal breeding techniques. And this is a work that we've done in consultation with the industry in the forestry area. So with your permission, Chair, again, we cannot give the specificities here, but we can come and share the broader framework and then give you a set of numbers. We're looking at some of the initiatives that we're supporting and the export potential over the next 5 to 10 years. Again, these are the kind of numbers that we can provide. So unless I've left anything, I would then like to hand over to the CFO, Mbuzelo and David, if there's any specific questions that they would like to add on that I might have left. Thanks very much.
Through you, Chair, I just want to address the issues of finance. The first issue was the issue of the audit report that we haven't touched on it. The reason why is because we had an unqualified audit, but we have noted the issues of the supply chain that were raised by the Auditor General. We've developed action plans to deal with those issues that were raised and to enhance our internal controls. I'll also try to respond to the question of irregular expenditure. We've looked at the issue of irregular expenditure and the root causes for the irregular expenditure, as well as the fruitless expenditure. We've also enhanced our processes by developing checklists to make sure that we don't repeat the findings moving forward. Some of the findings, the root causes were the tax clearance certificates were not original. So we've made sure now that we enhance that by making sure that we operationally we have processes that say we need an original tax clearance certificate. Where we had contract issues that also raised irregular expenditure, increased our irregular expenditure, We've also enhanced those processes to make sure that contract management is in place and that our contracts are not actually expiring before actually we can go on tender. So we have enhanced our processes in that area. With the issue of the consultants versus compensation, that's a difficult one to respond to without the assistance of National Treasury, because National Treasury have actually given us a limit in terms of compensation. The compensation budget is not growing, it's actually getting cut off. So it's getting difficult for us to fill in the positions that are funded and they are vacant, because when you carry through those positions, you cannot actually fund them over the MTEF. So the cut has been so immense that even the vacancies which are funded that we currently have cannot be filled, because we can't carry the cost too. So now, in order for us to be able to achieve our output, we have to look at an alternative method, which is use consultants as well as contract workers. Unfortunately, with the standard chart of accounts, consultants are classified in various ways. The items for consultants also has temps, contract workers. It also has consultants as in consultancy fees. So when you actually look at the overall expenditure for consultants, it consolidates all those sorts of items. So it's either you can't do one without the other. If you want to achieve, you'd have to increase the consultants in order for you to be able to supplement your capacity. And on the issue of the overspending on compensation, there isn't really an overspending, because at the end of a year we had an underspending of about 4 million, if I'm not mistaken. At the 31st March, we've actually almost closed the book. So we have an underspending, and the explanation is that we couldn't fill those positions because we can't carry them through the MTEF due to the cuts in the years, in the outer years. The audit committee, we do have an audit committee as an oversized body, and it's got an independent chair, which actually assists us. It does add value in terms of our audit findings. The issue of capital assets, internally we have had an arrangement where we have centralized our capital asset budget just to have an upper hand on it and have control on it. It doesn't necessarily mean the department is overspending, it's just that we had under projected for the capital assets. However, at year end we actually requested the environment to close that gap, because in other areas we have made a saving, so the environment and the shifting of funds will close that gap in terms of overspending. It's a pity that we are reporting as at the 31st of December, because the picture has completely changed. As at in the 31st of December, we were looking like we are underspending, but at year end, the expenditure has actually reached 98.8%, so which means our under expenditure, if you call it that, or our unspent funds is less than 2%. I would request the PDP to assist me on the issue of the vacancy rate. I'm not really sure what it is now, but I know it's a bit above 3%.
Thanks, Chair. Our target for the vacancy rate is to cap it at 6% throughout the year. And at the end of quarter three, our vacancy rate was sitting at 4.2. And at the end of the year, it's sitting at 5.6. It's mostly non-management posts, some mid-management, some professional and admin posts. Also, in adding to what the DG said about the skew budget of admin versus core, that also in admin we have the budget for the ministries, the DG's office, the DDG's budget as well, which makes it look bigger than normal in addition to the other studies that the program one admin is provides the organization. Thank you.
thank the Honorable Chair, and I feel the DG has pretty much answered the issue around the target and indicator. Maybe the only thing that I could add was around the apparently confusing terminology that they are using. And the only response there is that this terminology is standardized by National Treasury. And I hope that members have been able to get the full report. Because on page 8 of the full report, the actual definitions of the measurement have actually been included. So this could just serve as a reference point going forward where something like certainty, which in everyday language would be a positive statement, based on this terminology, it actually says something else. Certainty means that we are certain that the indicator will not be achieved. So something along those lines. I accept that we should improve the presentation of the target going forward, maybe by just simplifying them in the presentation and then making relevant references that are in the main report. Thank you.
And then just lastly, Chair, we will follow up why the document ended up being in your hands only yesterday, because I think we signed it off as early as Tuesday last week. So if it's an internal process that made you to receive it late, we'll follow up on it. Sincere apologies for that.
Alright, thank you very much. Members, as we always do, if there are any issues that you think are outstanding from this engagement, please submit them to the Secretary so that they can forward it to the Department. Secondly, I appreciate what the DG says that they would like an opportunity to give us a fuller understanding of what the Department is doing. Indeed, we would like to have that engagement at some point in the course of the year. We also do like to have yourselves with your entities so that we have a sense of what they themselves are doing. As I said earlier on, where there are challenges, like the one we highlighted now, where there was no spending in the 2013-14, that which resulted in you withholding the fund, these are issues that we would like to find solutions together. And therefore, it would be appropriate at some point to have yourselves and your entities coming in, so that we can further share this information and share ideas as how to take forward the issues that seem to be challenges and resolve those challenges. So that when we report to our people through Parliament, we tell our people what they want to hear. People don't want to hear us lamenting about this, that, and the next thing. They don't want us to, they want to hear negative stories about government, about this minister, about this DG and the chief director and this other fellow. That's not what they're interested in. Our people are interested in knowing that we resolve the challenges that stifle a better life for them. That's the bottom line. And so when we get into further engagement, that is what we will be seeking to do together. I do want to say thank you very much for making yourselves available. Honorable Chairperson, you want to make a point before we close.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I need the answer to the audit committee. During the input, because key to the life of any institution is that institution.
Through your chair, we did indicate that there is an audit committee and there is an independent chairperson, two independent members.
Thank you very much. Yes, I, I was saying we want to thank you for availing yourselves today, and hope that we will together with you find space again sometime this year to engage further on this matter. Honourable members of the committee, thank you for your attendance, staff, and support. We have minutes. Yes. Let's quickly release our colleagues from the department so that we can deal with the minutes very quickly. We still have a minute or two. We have two sets. Two sets of minutes of the meeting of the 14th of April and the 15th of April. Honorable members, let's quickly look at the first page. Thank you.